Okay, we're picking up the Mar on Chaf Ches Amud Beis. We're at three lines from the bottom of the words of Eni. We were discussing, the Mar told us in a Braisa that during the 7 days of Sukkos, you should make your house, like your permanent residence should be your Sukkah, and your temporary residence should be your house. So then the Braisa told us how, if you have nice things, you bring into the Sukkah, and you eat in the Sukkah, and you metai b'Sukkah, and you learn in the Sukkah. So that last point of Mishanah b'Sukkah is what the Gemara is about to ask Eni from where we are, three lines from the bottom. Eni, is it really true that one has to learn, and specifically the analytical parts of the Gemara, the to do that in the Sukkah as well. V'amar Rava, but didn't Rava tell us, Mikra umasna b'matalata, that a person who's learning Torah and reviewing Mishnah, that should be done in the Sukkah. However, v'tnuye bar matalata, analyzing on the real analytical parts of the Torah, you could do it outside of the Sukkah. As Rashi explains, when a person sometimes needs to focus on a very deep sugya, and he's really has his mind focused, sometimes fresh air outside is the best way to learn. The Rashi says, no, it's not about it. Usually Sukkah has people in it. You need to learn alone. You need to learn alone. That's what's going on over here. So you need to learn alone. That's why you have the chiyuv to be, that's why you potentially would want to learn outside by yourself, to not be in the Sukkah. That's what the Rashi explains, why you would not be. Either way, we see that learning in an analytical way maybe it's better for a person's learning to learn outside of the Sukkah. So that's the Chorah against the Braisa. So how could you tell me that the Braisa should tell me that your person learns in the Sukkah? Usually it's very fascinating. Usually when we have a Braisa and then an Amora contradicts the Braisa, we'll ask Meisivei on Rava. And what do you mean V'ha'amar Rava? We usually don't ask like that. That Rava said, and therefore it should be a question on the Braisa. The Braisa is an earlier source. It's a stronger source. And it's difficult. I don't know how to resolve that. But that's what the question the Chorah is on why are we asking the question as on the Braisa as opposed to the question on Rava. But either way, the Gemara answers over here. Lo kasha, there's no steer between the Braisa and Rava statement, because habimigras habiyune. The Braisa is telling you they have a chiyuv to learn in the Sukkah. That's referring to bimigras. That's more just trying to remember things and not really learning it in analysis. Habiyune, but learning it biyun, analyzing it in a very intense manner, then something that hadn't been clarified before, you're really analyzing it, that requires you to be totally immersed in it, and that requires something that you allow to learn out to the Sukkah if it's better for your learning. That's how Rashi explains the Sukkah. The original material goes with Rashi's explanation. Now turning on to the next Talmud. The Gemara says, ki ha, de, our gear says, Rabba, and parenthesis really should be Rava, virami bar chama, Rava and Rama bar chama, ki avi kaimi mikami der vchista, when they were standing before vchista, mirati bi gemara ba'ade adade, that first they would go bikias, they'd run to the Gemara very quickly, and then they would review the material, v'hadra miyunai b'svara, then they would analyze it with the logical thought. So that would be how they learn, and then they would see if there's any more difficulties that exist. So therefore, we see over here that the Gemara's analysis requires both types of learning, which is apparently more chamar. It's harder for you to focus on that, and that requires more deeper concentration. The Gemara continues. Amar Rava, mani mishtaya b'matalya. So your person's allowed to have drinking cups to remain in the sukkah, meaning even if you started drinking, you're allowed to continue drinking. Mani michla bar matalya. However, if you have eating utensils after you're done with them, you should be taken out. So as machlokas, why exactly should this be done? Rashi explains they should be removed because they become dirty, and that's davar mius, and you shouldn't have a davar mius in your sukkah. Tosfos explained that the eating utensils are referring to utensils that are things like pots, and that you shouldn't be brought into the sukkah because teshuva could do that. It's not the way that you would normally do things. You don't bring a huge pot into serve it as at your dinner table. You serve everybody on the plate. You bring it on the plates, and that's how you should be doing it in the sukkah. It's really nafkavita between the two explanations. It potentially if you have an ashba mechusa, that was the show. Some people actually discuss this, Shaila. You have a really big sukkah. You know, the hotel sukkahs, a lot of sukkahs. A lot of times they'll have a nice garbage that you would have in your kitchen, like the way you have in your kitchen with a cover. You open the, put your foot on the bottom, you open it up, and you close it. It's not davar mos, and it's not smelly. You put your garbage in there, put your dirty plates in there, and then someone will collect the garbage after and put it in the garbage. So you let it have that in the sukkah. So it'd be an afkamina between these two explanations. According to the explanation of Rashi, that it's dirty, so that it's davar mos, you should not be putting that in the sukkah. So too, you should not be putting garbage in the sukkah, even if it's covered. That's not a proper way to have something in the sukkah like that. Davar kadosh in the sukkah. However, according to Tosfos's explanation, if teshun kedid, Lechora, you would potentially have this heter because in your house, in your kitchen, also you have a nice garbage, not piled in the middle, but you put it under that the thing that you have to step on it. That's not that type of garbage pail. Lechora is not going to be disgusting, and that's not a major issue. Teshuva can do that. You would have it in your house. So it's an afkamida between the explanations. I think a lot of posts are machir, but I think some are mekel. Everyone should consult the rav. But that's really comes out of how the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos would be lechora this nafkamina about having a garbage pail in your sukkahs. Now the Gemara says, So that's what you need. Chatzav v'shachach bar matala. So continues with other different things is if you have like an earthenware jug, as Rashi explains it, that's used for drawing water, and a pail of water that should be kept outside the sukkah because these also are. It's not appropriate to use these things in a sukkah after you use them. They're not clean. They're not supposed to be there. Ushraga matala. But if you have a lamp, that is allowed to be put in the sukkah. Varmele bar matala. Some say that it has to be outside the sukkah. So the Gemara says v'lo pligit. The one who says that it has to be outside the sukkah, the one who says that it's allowed to be in the sukkah, they're not arguing. Because haba sukkah the gdula, why are you allowed to have a lamp? That's referring to a large sukkah, haba sukkah tana, whereas when it's usher to have the lamp in the sukkah is in a small sukkah, because Rashi explains, because it's 7x7 tefachim, and the Bach explains that when it comes to this thing, l'chora, it's going to be noticeable in a very small sukkah, but if you put in a big sukkah, it's not going to be a lamp, it's not going to be noticeable, and therefore it's not distracting from the fact that it's there, but in a small sukkah, it would be noticeable, and it's two things that people wouldn't like it, so therefore, it's something that should not be there. Tosfos say the whole explanation differently. They say that it's all about setting something on fire. They were afraid that if you have a small sukkah with a lantern there, lighting your fire over there would create a sakana. So that's why it's a different xerah and completely. That if we have a small sukkah, Chazal are afraid for the life of everybody to be careful to pikuach nefesh that not allow you to light your candles in the sukkah. So Gemara says Yardu Gishamim. Now going to the next part of the Mishnah, which said that if the rain had fallen, person out of the sukkah if it's going to ruin your food. So the Gemara says Tana. So a different explanation there was defined as more of like something like a porridge. So the Gemara says a different explanation. Rabbi Yisrael taught Mishitizrach Hamikbash Shel Grisin, that when the rain is going to be enough, it's going to ruin your porridge made of split beans. Apparently, Rashi explains that these things are very liquidy, and apparently even a smaller amount would make them spoil, so that's the amount that you're going to be potter from the sukkah. The chorus bring more makel on the shear. So the Gemara says, Abaye, have kayosif kameder of Yosef in Matala. Abaye was sitting before of Yosef in the sukkah. Nashav zika kamaise tzivsa. So it started being very windy, and then it came tzivsa, is like the little leftover, like more like the little wood chips were coming down from his schach. Amrelu of Yosef, Rav Yosef says to Talmidim, Panali ma'ane me'acha, take out my utensils from here, because he was planning on leaving the sukkah. Amrelu Abaye, vahatna me'shitizrach amik. I said, what do you mean? Did the Mishnah tell us when the porridge becomes ruined? And this is just little wood chips. It's apparently a lower level than the level that you were discussing. I'm related to which Rav Yosef responded, L'didi kevan da'anina da'ase. I am like a shtickle OCD, basically. I'm obsessed with being clean, and therefore, commissions are machbe damale. I can't even sit in this situation, and therefore, it's very annoying to me, and I'm a bit sour like that. So that's enough to, that's like, I'm like someone whose porridge is being ruined because I'm a little bit more mifunak. I'm a little bit more OCD in my cleanliness, and once it starts getting all the wood chips everywhere, I can't have a sukkah like that, so I can't learn in the sukkah anymore. Tana Rabban, we learn Rabbi Yisaya, Ocha basukkah, someone was eating the sukkah, V'yardu Kisham, and began to rain, V'yarad, and he left his house, and he left the sukkah, he started eating in his house, so he continued his meal in the house. Ima Tri Chanosa Lalo Shriyig Mar Sudaso. You don't trouble him to go back into the sukkah until you finish your meal, and you want to eat another meal. Once he's continuing his meal, he's no longer chayav to go back to the sukkah, even if it stopped raining. If, however, he didn't sit down yet in his house to continue the meal, and the rain stops, the Mishnah Berurah says that then you would have a chayav to go back into the sukkah. L'chora, there's similar lachas, we're about to get to it, when it comes to sleeping. Hayayashin tachas a sukkah. If you were sleeping under the schach, v'yardu geshamim, and it started to rain, v'yarad, and so then you left and you went to sleep in your house. In matrichanos alalos ad sheyor, we do not trouble him to go back up until it becomes light out when it starts to get light out. Just one more harder, by the way, when it came to the halacha of yardu gishamim. So that halacha was lechora only mentioned when someone started eating already. So then you're going to be patur as long as the drink is going to be enough to ruin your porridge, ruin your food. So the Ran understands, though, that this standard is only applying to someone who already began his meal. If someone didn't start his meal yet, and it's drizzling, it's enough to, you don't want to, it's annoying for you, but it's not enough to ruin the food, but it's drizzling, so then if it's causing you discomfort, according to the Ran, a big kula, that you wouldn't have to go in the first place. It's not, you don't have to wait till it gets to that level. That's only when you started eating already, because you're already in the sukkah, so we're not going to tell you to leave yet, necessarily. But if you haven't gotten in the sukkah yet and it started drizzling, potentially, according to the Ran, you'd be able to make, I don't remember if we quote that Ran la'alacha, but that's an interesting Ran to keep in mind. So that's with regards to sleeping also. Now the Gemara just points out, Ibailu, we asked on this statement, when is it that you have to go back into the sukkah? Ad sheye'ur with an ayin. Well, ye'ur with an ayin means that you wake up, or ad sheye'ur, or when it becomes light out. being obviously understandable why people weren't sure what that meant, because they're spelt very similarly and they're pronounced very similarly also, sheyeur, sheyeur. So which is it? And what's the nafkamina? Is that if it's ad sheyeur until a person is, until it's actually going to become light out with an aleph, then someone who wakes up before it's light is not obligated to turn to a sukkah. However, if the correct reading is going to be sheyeur with an ayin, then even if someone wakes up in the middle of the night, lechor would have a chiyuv to go back to the sukkah. So that's just important. Either version, though, there's no chiyuv to wake up someone who's sleeping to go back into the sukkah. So the Gemara says, Tashma, we learn in a brisa, ad sheyeur v'ya'ale amud hashachar, until it becomes light out, and the first lights of the dawn are starting to appear. So the Gemara just clarifies, wait a second, Tarte, these lechora are two different shirim, that when the eastern sky is going to become rising, all right, the first lights of dawn are lechora going to be two different times. So the Gemara says, Ela ima ad sheyeur v'ya'ale amud hashachar. Rather, it means that the brisa is understanding until you wake up and the light of the dawn has come up. And there we see that the right reading of the brisa is either way, from a parenthetical, so the brisa is ad sheyeur with an aleph, until you awake. And therefore, we learn from here that if you wake up earlier and or you're sleeping after that time, he's not going to be chayav to go back into the sukkah over here. You would have to have me know they would, but lechor we bring up ad sheyeur, that until you wake up. So that the Gemara now continues with the next part of the Mishnah, analyzing the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us mashal lamar davar dome. The analogy, what is compared to when it rains on the night of Sukkot, under lechor maybe the first day, maybe any part of Sukkot, to a slave that pours a cup of wine for his master, and then the rabbo spills it back in his face. Oh well, that's going to be about to be the shaila. Who's spilling it back in his face? And we're asking, by lehu, mishafach lemi, who's spilling it back in whose face? Is it that what happened over here? Is it that the eved was the adon spilled the pitcher back into the servant's face, or is it that the eved accidentally spilled the pitcher onto the master? And it's actually very fascinating. There actually is a nafkamina. The Korban Nisanal brings a nafkamina, potentially, is that maybe the nafkamina between these two explanations would be, do you have the right to sit in the sukkah if it's still raining? If it's that I accidentally spilled the drink in front of the master, so then if I have a right to be machmir, but if the rabbo, if the master is spilling it back in my face, so he obviously doesn't want me to be there, then I have no right to be machmir if it's raining to stay in the sukkah. And the Gemara now says, Tashma, so we can bring in a proof. Desan shavach lo rabbo kiton alpanav. It says that clearly the master is spilling the pitcher onto your face. So I'm lo yashar b'shim shech, I don't want you over here. So this is clearly telling us that it's the rabbo doing it, which works out halacha, because the Mishnah is going to tell us that a person who stays in the sukkah when it's raining and is mitzaer is going to be nikra hedyot. He's a simpleton. He's not supposed. That's the halacha is that you go inside. So that's there's no reason to be machmir. The Vilna Gaon has a beautiful explanation of this parable, of the understanding of why does the Mishnah Dafka say that it's an eved specifically with a cup of wine and he's mazgulos kol shoshon, which diluted the wine. So he explains that a little bit based on Kabbalah, that when it comes to the yayin, usually is reference to din. And we know that mayim is usually referenced to is midas harachamim. So that this eved was trying to do masikos adinim, is trying to bring about that we should have the midas adin be lowered and be brought to harachamim. And this is a reference to the fact that we just went through Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, which is yimei adin, and those are very scary times. So what is the whole mitzvah of lulav? It's our trophy. It's the time that Hashem gives us these mitzvahs in order to give us extra maisim, in order that we should be sealed for. We know that Hoshana Rabbah is the gemar din, that we're sealed for a good gemar din. So if Hashem is giving us those mitzvahs to do, that is showing that there is a masikas adinim. But if Hashem doesn't want those mitzvahs, Hashem doesn't want us to be in the sukkah, then that's why he's splashing back the cup of wine in our face, meaning that he's saying, I don't want your diluted wine. I don't want the dinim that you're trying to remove and make them rachamim. I'm going to keep them as chas v'shalom, as midas adin. I'm going to keep them as a very strict judgment, and that's why you're going to be punished. A very fascinating, beautiful explanation. We see how deep every word of every Mishnah is, every comparison, every mashal, every analogy, everything is so close to the Mishnah. We don't always see that. But this beautiful explanation from the Vilna Gaon. Now the Mishnah continued. So the Gemara just says, different signs that things are not good for Klal Yisrael, just like we mentioned, that it's not good when it rains on Sukkot. So the Gemara is going to go a little bit of attention over here. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Bizman Shacham Aloka, the time where the sun is literally stricken, which most understand that means a solar eclipse. I heard, by the way, that there was a solar eclipse right around the time of Corona in December. I think maybe in China, Dafka, whatever it was. But that is a simin ra l'chol alam kulo. It's a bad sign for the entire world. It is not a good thing. So apparently also there was one right before Eliyahu Pian relates that when he was learning, there was like the day before World War One, which I think I've heard that World War One came out on Tisha B'Av, so I guess Ches B'Av, there was a major solar eclipse also. But either way, that's it's a mashal, so it's a very similar melech l'olam. Mashal d'vadama, what is this compared to? L'melech basar v'adam shasa sudel avadav. It's compared to a king who made a beautiful banquet for all of his people in his country. V'niach panas lifneim. He placed in modern day Hebrew a panas is a flashlight. Obviously, it doesn't mean a flashlight. It means a lantern before them, in order to partake in this beautiful meal. Kasalem, he got upset at them afterwards. And then, he said, remove the lantern, and I'm there going to sit in the darkness. So similar to solar eclipse, the sunlight is going to be hidden a little bit. Therefore, we can't fully enjoy the sun Hashem is giving us, or showing us that he's upset with us. The Gemara continues now, Tanya, we learn in Rebbeisa, Rabbi Meir says, Kol zman she'ma'uras lokin siman ra l'sonayim she'Yisrael. Whenever the usually probably not referring to the sun, but rather the other celestial bodies like the moon and the stars and other things, those are being struck. That's obviously Lashon Saginar. It's a euphemism. It's referring to actual Chas V'Shalom to Klal Yisrael. But we don't want to even say such a thing. So we say Sunayim Shal Yisrael, the haters of Yisrael, but it's really referring to Yisrael. Because we know that these things are, we're accustomed to when these things are being hit. As Rashi explains, that Jews, more than any other nation, should be concerned when bad things are happening, because usually the punishment is directed towards us. And, we suffer more than any other nation, and that's why we have to be scared. Mashal Asofer Shaba Lebeis HaSefer. This is a mashal, analogy we can make between this and a teacher who comes to school, who Ritzua B'Yado, and he has a strap to whip the students. Mi Doeg, who's the one who should be the most scared? Mishiraga Lokos B'Choyom V'Yom, who Doeg? The one who's hit all the time, he should be the one who's scared. So to Klal Yisrael, we're hit all the time, we should be scared. The Marshal just makes it a little bit better. He says that Lechora, the teacher, is only hitting the one who he thinks has the most potential. A guy who thinks he has no potential, he doesn't care about him. That's the goyim. Hashem doesn't care about the goyim because they don't have no potential. But Klal Yisrael, he's always worried out, he's always looking out for us. That's why he's always trying to punish us to make sure we go back in the right ways. Gemara continues down to Braisa. Tanur Rabbanu within Braisa. Bizman Shacham Aloka. The time that the sun is struck. Siman Rala Ovde Kachavin. It's a bad sign even for the Ovde Avodah Zarah. Those who violate Avodah Zarah. The Vada Loka. When the time of the moon is struck. Siman Rala Sunayim Shal Yisrael. That is a bad sign again. The euphemism of here, it's not a reference to. It's not a reference to the haters of Yisrael, rather to the Jewish people. And that's when the Levana, because we in Nation Yisrael, Moon and Levana, we calculate our months based on the moon. We use a lunar calendar, therefore in the moon, that's a reference to Klal Yisrael. I once heard a beautiful pshat in high school, right? Someone gave a Dvar Torah. We usually have a weekly Dvar Torah at high school. Someone gave a Dvar Torah about why is it that the first mitzvah is that of a moon? This part says, I'm assuming. So that why is it that there was a moon? So he said very beautifully that Klal Yisrael is nimshal to the moon, because look at Jewish history all the time that we have our highlights. We also have the times where we get diminished to the fact that we think that it's all gone, the moon is going to be disappearing, yet it comes back and it's a new sighting, new seeing of the moon, a new schachis, a new Rosh Chodesh, a new time to renew ourselves. That's what the whole Levana is all about. That's what Klal Yisrael is all about, the history of Klal Yisrael. There's so many times that people thought we were down and out. It's 1945, people definitely thought we were down and out, and look what happened 3 years later. In 1948 we had the State of Israel, and more people are living. For the first time since Bayis Risha, we have almost more Jews than anywhere else in the world. We have more Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. So that's an amazing thing that's happening Bizman is. And when people thought we were out just 3 years earlier. Anyway, that's what the Simon, that's what we count from the Levana. We are like the moon. The non-Jews, they're like the sun. They count, they do a solar calendar 365 days a year. They do a solar calendar, Lokab and Mizrach. So when the sun is struck in the east, so then Simon Rali Yoshe Mizrach, the people who are dwelling in the east should be careful. They should be worried about what's going to happen to them and their futures. Bimarav. When it's struck in the west during the afternoon hours, the sun is in the western sky. So then, Siman Ra Liyoshri Marav, it's going to be a bad sign for those who live in the west. But Amtar Akia, while the sun is struck in the middle of the day, which is the Chor noon time, Siman Ra Lacholam Kolo, that's bad Siman for the entire world. Panav Dome Ladomin Ladam, when the sun looks like blood, it's a reddish color. Cherev Ba Leholam, then it's going to be a sign that there's going to be blood in the world by a war or something like that. Lisak, when it looks like a sack. Chitzera Ba Leholam also implies that there's going to be famine in the world. When it looks like that and that, then both are going to happen. So when the sun is going at sunset, it's going back in. Paronos shohet lavo. That there is this paranos, bad things are supposed to happen. Hashem is delaying them. Maybe we could do tshuva or whatever it is. Hashem is delaying. Mitziyasa, when it's coming, when we see the sun is being struck at sunrise, then mameres lavo. Then we know that divine punishment is going to be coming right away. A person should know that it's going to be happening very quickly. I'm saying that it's the opposite, that when it's happening at sunset, it's going to happen very quickly. For just like the sun is going to be setting immediately, so too is the punishment is going to be coming. And when it's happening, when the sun is coming up, that's going to be delayed because it remained the whole day before. It didn't happen. It's happening like the next morning. I guess starting by Erev, okay, I don't know, that it should be that should be why it's the opposite. Now the Gemara continues. We know that any nation's not hit. They're also there. That's interesting. Over here, most define that even Rashi seems to imply over here that it's the angels, the ministering angels. That's what Rashi says over here, that they're defending them in the even Shemayim in the heavens. However, Rashi and Chumash though, Rashi says that it's the actual Eloah is referring to the actual gods. That refers to the gods of Mitzrayim according to Rashi and Chumash. So it's a little bit explains a little bit differently here and there. Either way, the Gemara says Shneimar v'chol Eitzayim v'Seshvatim. That pasuk over there, that's what Rashi explains differently in Rashi and Chumash. Now the Gemara continues with Isman Shisrael Osin Ritzon Shemakom. But when Klai Yisrael are doing the will of Hashem in Mitzrayim v'Kol, that we don't have to worry about any of this. What a great thing! Shneimar the pasuk says Ko Amar Hashem the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. That don't learn from the ways of the goyim. Don't be scared by the heavens, because only the other nations have to be scared of them. We don't have to be scared of the chorus we're talking about when we're doing Ritzon Shel Makom. Who has to be scared is the non-Jews have to be scared of the different omens that are coming. However, the Yidden don't have to be scared from these things. We learn Arbaisa Bishvil Arba Dvarim Chavaloka, on account of four different things, the sun is going to be struck. Al Av Basin Shemes Veinonesad Kalacha, that you have the Av Basin Lachor that's referring to the Rosh Sanhedrin. And Rashi says he doesn't know why specifically this is connected, the fact that should lead to a chama being loket. Others explain, the Marsha explains, I think, that way they're not eulogizing appropriately. We don't see his worth. He's like the sun who's raiding us with the Torah. That we don't, and that's the comparison over here. Either way, Valnara Murasish Sakabir Vein Moshila. That's like a plain words from the Pasuk. Right? The Pasuk tells us that the Ein Moshila, that she's not going to be chayav when she was a married woman and someone raped her, then she's not going to be chayav if she's ones. That's what the Pasuk tells you. So that's what people heard her. People didn't take care of the rape. They didn't save her. Val Mishkav Zachar, and also homosexual things. Hashem, that's why the son is going to be bad. That's a bad sign for us. Val Shnei Achen, Shenishbach, Daman, Ke'achan, and also two brothers whose blood was killed, meaning they were killed at one time. Also four things, different other of the moon, the stars, those things are also going to be struck. Al-Kosve Plaster, people who write forged documents, Ve'al-Mode Edu Sheka, those who testify falsely, Ve'al-Megdele Behema Daka Beretz Yisrael, those who raise small livestock in Eretz Yisrael. There's an Issur Darabanan to raise these livestock in Eretz Yisrael because apparently they're very difficult to watch and they're going to graze in other people's field and they're going to be destroying, besides for also Gezel, they're also going to be destroying Eretz Yisrael for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because Arwa goes with that. Ve'al-Kotzei Lanas Tovas, and also people who cut down trees, that's Baal Tashchis. Everyone goes, Baal Tashchis, like if you're wasting food. If you're not hungry, the Lord, there's no problem of wasting food. The real Issur Daraisa of Baal Tashchis is a reference to this puzzle. That's what all the Rishonim agree. Some say that in general, wasting might be a problem about Tashchis, but the real Issur D'Oraisa for sure is Los Tashchis is Eitza, is not destroying fruit trees at the time of war, and Lechora obviously Kolshikin can any other time, because Hashem creates Bracha, and He gives Bracha with these fruits, so obviously you should not be wasting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will that He gives us. Uvishvil Arbar Dvarim Nechlesi Balei Batim Nimsarim L'Malchus, on account of four things, the people are going to lose their wealth. And what is that? Al Mashe Shtaros Peruim, someone who's trying to keep he has a document that a friend lent him money, already paid him back the loan. He's trying to keep it to try to collect it again. So he's trying to steal from him eventually. Val Malve Ribis, people who lend on interest. Ve'al Shaya Safik Ve'adam Limchos Ve'lamicha, those who could have protested and they didn't protest. Ve'al Sheposkim Tzedaka Berabim Ve'ena Nostim, those who pledge to give tzedaka in public and they don't give. And also, and that's the issue because they're not honoring their pledge, obviously. Four things, people are going to lose all their money is going to be destroyed. Those who don't pay their workers, are usually on time, pay them at all. Well, that's the second one, is not paying them at all. You're stealing from them, you're not paying them honestly. Those who cast the yoke of responsibility from them and they put it on their friends. Those who are arrogant. It's a very scary thing. People who are arrogant are equal to all these combined. They're arrogant in their wealth. They're arrogant because they're so wealthy and they feel they could step all over everyone else. However, those who are humble, it says, we end the paragraph in a nice way. The humble should inherit the earth and find delight and a lot of abundance of shalom, a lot of peace for them as well. Now we're up to Lulav HaGazel. It's a pretty famous parak. A lot of people learn it when they're younger. Lulav HaGazal is a wonderful parak. There's a lot of nice lamdos over here, and then different halachas about the actual specifics of a lulav. You have some picture books, are probably helpful just to see exactly which parts the Gemara is going, Gemara and the Mishnah is really talking about. Just to give a small introduction, the pasuk says, "Lukatan chem be'yom rishon priya etzadar kapos tamar manaf itzarvos farvinachos matruf lein Hashem alukechem shivas yamim." We know by priya etzadar, we know that's a reference to an esrog, and then we have kapos tamarim is a reference to the lulav, anaf etz avos is a reference to the hadasim, and arvinachal is a reference to the aravos. Usmatruf lein Hashem alukechem, you should be glad if you should be happy in front of Hashem 7 days. That's what we're going to learn out. That the mitzvah derais is really the first day, but the base of mitzvah lifnei Hashem, that's going to buy all 7 days. And that's after the time of the Churban HaBayis, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made his Eichel HaMikdash, so we should have it for all 7 days. And there's different things that a person should be aware of for the parak, the different things that you should need. We learn out that you need a lakachta time, that you should have a complete, that all the four dal minim have to be complete. If they have any, that's what we're going to see already for the first mission, things that are missing with them, that's going to be a problem. And also lachem is also very first mission. Lachem needs to be yours. You can't be borrowed one, or obviously a certain one, certainly stolen. Mitzvah Baber is not going to be yotze and hadar. It needs to be beautiful, and hadar potentially could be a psul. In depending how bad it is on some of the dalad minim. So now we're up to lulav. We're going to start with lulav. Lulav agazal v'yavesh pasul. If you have a stolen lulav, again, lakach b'chem, it needs to be yours, then it's going to be pasul. Or if you have a dried one also, it's going to be pasul. So normally we have a concept of zeh keli v'anveya, which is a person should have, he's not in front of the mitzvahs, do things nicely. However, that lechora is only a din lechatchila. That's not going to be something that's ma'ake b'devet. So the Rishonim point out, lechora over here is referring to, it's a problem of hiddur. And we know hiddur, if it's so bad, it could potentially pasul for here, even this level of this dried out lulav. It's a machlokas Rishonim, what exactly is the level of the dryness over here. Lechora, so some explain that according to Tosos, it has to be, that it has to be, Nitbarech besipor, that it could be so crumble with his nail. So Ravid has a problem with that. He says that lechora, according to Tosa's definition, that's not going to happen. That level of dryness is not going to happen many years without a lulav. So Ravid therefore says a dry lulav, it totally loses its greenness and starts turning white because of it doesn't have any greenness. Lechora, that's happened like after 1 year. So that's going to be what's called dry. The Shulchan Aruch Lameisa goes like that. Ravid he quotes that if it starts to lose its greenness, it's not going to be considered. It's going to be considered dry and pasul. However, the Ramah says that Bino Zela, we rely on Tosa. Is gathered that it could be much more dry, like the Tosos explained, and that would be the psul. Shal asher v'shenadachas pasul. If it's from an asher, which is an avodah zara type of avodah zara, then or in adachas, if you have a city which people are started worshiping idols, and the rov of the city is doing avodah zara, then everything in the city has to get destroyed. So this lulav also has to be destroyed. So therefore, it's going to be, we're going to learn later, it's what's the concept of ktute miktat shiure, that the measurement is considered as if it's not there because you're not allowed to, you have to destroy it. So sometimes you have a chalach, it has to be destroyed because if it doesn't have a shear, it's not like you're holding anything. And normally a lulav has to be four tefachim, I think. So that's not the minimum shear of four tefachim. So therefore, it's pasul. And that's why you're nadachas. Shear is also a avodah zara, you have to get rid of it as well. Now, nikta merusha, if the top was chopped off, big machlokes rishonim, what exactly, what part of it has to be chopped off? Maybe we'll get to a little bit in tomorrow's daf. Nifritzu alav, if the leaves were torn, also shaila over here, what exactly, what part has to be torn? If they were torn off from the spine, according to Rashi, then it's going to be, that's the issue, because the others explain that others disagree with Rashi, and they say only partially torn on the spine is still going to be a problem, then it's going to be pasul. Nifritzu alav kasher, if its leaves were separated, it's still going to be kasher. We're talking about leaves that were fully attached to the spine, but are spread out apart, top like branches of a tree, that is going to be kasher only b'diavad lechora, and then we have Rabbi Yehuda who says Rabbi Yehuda Amar Yagdenu Milamala, you could try it on the top. Tzine Har Arbarzel Ksheras, that the palms of the iron mountains are going to be kasher. What is this? These are palm trees that grow from a particular area of Eretz Yisrael. Their branches have short leaves and they don't match the length of a spine. So the branch of these trees are called in the Mishnah Tzine Har Barzel. They are part of the iron trees because they're allowed to be used as a lulav. The Gemara is going to qualify what exactly this means. Okay, but Ezra Shem will pick up with the Gemara because we have a little bit. We'll start. We could start. We'll pick up with the Gemara, Be'ez Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.